The reading this morning is from chapter 1 of Romans, and it's chapter 1, verses 1 to 17. If any of you have your Bibles with you, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, regarding his Son, who, as to his earthly life, was a descendant of David, and who, through the Spirit of holiness, was appointed the Son of God, in power by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through him we received grace and apostleship to call all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. For his name's sake, and you also are among those Gentiles who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be his holy people, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul's longing to visit home, Rome. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. God, whom I serve in my spirit in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness now constantly. I remember you in my prayers at all times, and I pray that now at last, by God's will, the way may be opened for me to come to you. I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that I have planned many times to come to you, but have been prevented from doing so until now, in order that I might have a harvest among you, just as I have had among other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. That is why I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you very much, Muriel. And I can invite Chris up to talk to us about that wonderful reading we've just had. And can we pray for Chris before he speaks to us? Heavenly Father, we thank you for Chris, and we thank you for everything he does for our church. We especially thank you for the joy that he has in the knowledge of you. We pray this morning, Father, that you can give him your word to speak to us. And we pray that you can help us to open our ears and our hearts to hear your word this morning. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Lizette. And thank you, Muriel, for reading. Good morning. It's wonderful to be here with you this morning. Let me just get myself sorted. How are you all this morning? I mean, there's no way that you can all answer that question. But you know, as I was reading Romans again this morning, and that passage that we're looking at today, there's this moment where Paul talks about mutually encouraging one another. He says that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. And it was that moment of recognizing afresh that God calls us together to be a family. Each of us unique and beautiful, equally valued by God. And here we are on a Wednesday morning with an opportunity to be that family together. That each of us, wherever we're at, and that's why I ask, how are you this morning? Wherever we are at, whether we're walking through trials or times of ease, can leave later today having been encouraged by our brothers and sisters here. Not just encouraged, but encouraged in the faith. That's like a lasting encouragement, because it's that deposit that as we then go into the next day and the day after that and the day after that, we remember that we're sustained by Jesus. Now, last week, I invited us all to look at, they'll begin reading the Gospel of Mark. Maybe you've been doing that, maybe you haven't. My hope is that some of us have, and that after the gathering, as we share refreshments together, our conversation might be punctuated by sharing the things that God has been showing us by his Spirit as we've been reading Mark's Gospel. Let me share one of the things that's caught my attention in the last day or two. I can't remember exactly when this, but I've highlighted it here and I put a little sticky by it. So that was one of those things I want to come back to. Jesus is anointed by a woman who pours a huge amount of perfume over him. And this woman is then rebuked by the people around. But what caught me was Jesus' words to the people who were rebuking this woman. He says, "Leave her alone. Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing for me." And then at the end, as he speaks a bit more, he says, "Truly I tell you, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." And it just caught me afresh, the immensity of Jesus' love for every person and how he's willing to stand up for people in the face of persecution. And for this, in this moment, this woman knew that Jesus was for her. So that's just a snippet of my journey through Mark, and I encourage us to find those moments of conversation. We are looking at how to be a community that is confident in the gospel. And I love that we're looking at it as a community, because it takes lifts off of us that sense of, oh, this is all on me. I've got to be doing this and this, and I've got to be sharing the gospel with this person, and coming back and thinking, oh, have I been doing that this week? That's all lifted. Because what it's about is us together mutually encouraging each other in knowing the gospel, knowing what Jesus has done for us, and then being confident to share it. And we do that by sharing stories. So about 10:30, I left the Linden Gate and began walking over here. And as I'm walking, there's a man walking towards me. And there was just that nudge from the Holy Spirit saying, why don't you stop, chat to him, offer to pray with him. His name's Nick. And I always find the kind of initial beginning a conversation hard. You know, here's a stranger walking down the street. What on earth am I going to say to stop this person in their tracks and start a conversation? But I managed somehow. And I just said, I'd love to pray for you. Would you like me to? I'll pray and ask Jesus if he can bless you. And he said, I'd love you to. And talked about where he was at, where he lived, and asked to pray for his children. He didn't want to pray there and then. He was quite comfortable just to know that I was praying. So that was that conversation. And as I walked towards the steps, I spotted a woman over the other side of the road just sweeping the steps. And again, the Holy Spirit, would you go and offer to pray for her? But as I turned around, there were two other people walking. So I thought, well, I'll ask them while I'm here. But the Holy Spirit hadn't said to ask them. So I was on a roll, but this was a bit of me rather than a bit of God. As I asked these two people, they both said, no, thank you. I think, okay, well, you didn't say, did you, Spirit? So maybe that's why. So I went over the road and chatted to this lady whose English wasn't confident. And so we had to work a little bit to get some understanding there. And she too said, oh, please would you pray for my children? And told me the names of her children. And there on the steps, she couldn't stop for long because she felt she ought to have been working. We prayed that Jesus would bless her children. And then we paused and we prayed again. And then I came over here. That was just a moment in my morning. And it's funny how in the midst of life, I just planned to come over and come in here. That was all I was going to do. But the Holy Spirit gets our attention and invites us to do something. We're going to jump around in this passage a bit more. Because we start to see in these moments what Paul is talking about here. He says, verse 9, God, whom I serve in my spirit, in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness, and goes on to talk about praying for them. But God, whom I serve in my spirit, and I love that idea that he is firstly serving God. And so it's not about Paul saying, well, I'm going to do this and this and this. It's about Paul listening to what God is asking of him. He's not free to do whatever he wants. Well, he is actually, because God invites us. He gives us free will. So, Paul's spirit, but then read on, verse 11. I long to see you, so he longs to go and visit the people in Rome, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. So there's this recognition in Paul that this is all a work of the Spirit. Which ties in with Jesus saying he's going to send us his Spirit and his Spirit's going to dwell in us. And it is the Spirit who leads us to what we do and don't do for God's kingdom. So in that moment I've shared in my journey here, there were two people the Holy Spirit led me to pray. And two that I felt, well, I'll just do this because, hey, I'm feeling like I'm on a roll now. I should have listened to the Spirit. Now, sometimes the Spirit does lead us to people and we ask to pray for them and they say no. But I knew that I was just going a little bit ahead. I was running ahead of God rather than running alongside. So, the first thing I think to draw out of this passage from Paul, and the thing that lifts the weight from our shoulders, is that in being a community who is confident in the gospel, it is being a community whose actions for communicating the gospel are shaped by the Holy Spirit. Which means we only have to do that which the Spirit asks us to do. And the wonder is, you look at Jesus' attentiveness to that woman who anointed him. Jesus knows us as the unique people we are. He knows our characters. He knows where our confidence is, where our fear is. He knows what we're going to be able to do and what we think, really, I couldn't do that. And in the midst of knowing all of that, he will interrupt our days and say, would you do this for me? And all he's looking for is our obedience. And so what he asks us to do, we can be confident that he's confident that we've got it within ourselves to do it. Now, it might not always feel that way to us. We might be thinking, really? No way, God. I can't do that. But he thinks we can. And that's where we are a community who encourage each other in what God has asked us each to do. It's not an accident, I think, that Jesus sent his disciples out in twos. We were talking about this morning in our staff huddle. Because when there's more than one of you, there's just a sense of confidence that you can bring to each other. Still have to listen to the Spirit. And there may be moments where we're out in ones. But if you're in a one there, knowing that there's other people who are praying for you, or having heard their story, I think that builds confidence. Let's turn back to Romans 1. One other thing I want to pick out of this passage today. If we're going to be a community confident in the gospel, we have to be a community who is bubbling over with excitement about the gospel. Paul begins this letter to the Romans by talking about the gospel. He calls himself an apostle set apart for the gospel of God. In that moment, he recognizes that his purpose in life is for the gospel, nothing else. But then he goes on, just in case people weren't confident in what the gospel is. He says, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, recognizing that this has been God's work all along through eternity, regarding his son, Jesus, who as to his earthly life was a descendant of David, just recognizing the heritage of Jesus, anchoring this in people that they would have known, or known of rather. But listen how he goes on. This is where it gets exciting. And who, through the Spirit of holiness, Holy Spirit, was appointed the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. So here we just start, he's building up the picture. He's saying, look, he came, he died, he was resurrected. He's Jesus Christ, he's Lord. Through him we receive grace and apostleship to call all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith for his name's sake. Now, I'm only going to take a minute here because there's so much packed in there. We could spend the next hour talking about that. But the point is that Jesus, in dying for us, rising from the dead, ascending to be with the Father, sending his Spirit, has called us to be his people. Called us into a relationship with him. And that is like the most enormous thing in life. That's what Paul is trying to get people excited about. He's saying, look, this is what's happened. This is truth. This isn't some story. And in that relationship, he's placed into our hands that certain hope. And so we are those people who are carrying the hope of Christ. Now, I don't know whether that makes you feel just a little bit excited. It makes me feel a lot excited. We're carrying the hope of Christ. And so if we are called to apostleship, That doesn't mean we're apostles, in a sense, but what it means is we're called to be those who bear the gospel and communicate it to others in so many different ways. What an exciting thing to encourage each other in. And so my question to us is, what is the Holy Spirit calling each of us to do for the gospel, and how can we encourage each other in that work so that none of us feel, oh, I've got to do this and it's all on me. But we get out and we say, God's giving me the opportunity to share his gospel in this way with this person or these people, to pray for these people that the gospel might be known. And I know that I've got a bunch of people I know who I've shared that sense of what the Holy Spirit's asking me to do, and I'm able to do this because I know they're praying for me. We must draw to a close. The way we do that is by daring to share with each other what we think God is saying to us. And so in just a few minutes, we will have an opportunity to share conversation with each other. So how about sharing with each other what we feel God is saying to us? How about taking opportunities to mutually encourage each other, pray for each other, that we might walk out of that door as a people confident in the hope that Jesus has given us, and maybe a little more confident to speak of that to the people we'll meet in the week ahead. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you sent before us people like Paul, who share something of his excitement about what you've done for us. Would you, by your Spirit, stir our hearts today that we might have just an unquenchable joy about what you have done for us in Jesus. Would you go with us into the week ahead by your Spirit, that we might be able to share that joy that we have with those who so desperately need to hear it. Lord, this is your work. Let us do all of this in the strength of your Spirit. Amen.